This is CliffCentral.com.
Come on, lift up your own worship to him.
Welcome to the Opinion Booth with myself, Sonia Booth. He is known for his cross-cultural contemporary style of Christian music that fuses elements from gospel, jazz, rock, and reggae. His name is synonymous with vertical experience. Colin Maluleke, welcome to the Opinion Booth.
Thank you for having me.
You are a very different looking pastor. I was expecting someone to rock up in here in like a suit, tie, or a cravat, you know. And
No. I'm chilled. I'm me. What you just listened to is a clear reflection of who I am. So it's not about being a pastor. I guess, you know, just being a young guy that's pushing God's agenda.
Because this morning when I was deciding what to wear, I thought the onesie that I want to wear, I normally have a red lipstick on, and I thought maybe he's gonna judge me for having a red lipstick. You know, it's like, what's up with this sister? You've been disrespectful. You're hosting a pastor, for crying out loud.
Oh, come on, man. It's not in our place to judge, and what you wear does not define how God looks at you.
I like that. Yeah, I like it. Here you are, you're wearing jeans, right?
And yeah, ripped jeans, actually.
And your shirt says, Lord, I'm grateful.
Lord, I'm grateful, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
So now, you mix gospel, jazz, rock, and reggae. I mean, that is unusual. Is that an attempt to appeal to a broader or younger audience, or is that a way of staying relevant?
Yeah, well, basically, I want to touch a wider audience, you know, also be the bridge between different generational gaps, you know, the elderly guys as well as the young hip-hop generation, the pop society that we're in, you know. So we want to try and fuse all those elements together and customize the word of God to be relevant to our generation, you know. I mean, we know about the God who parted the Red Sea, but we also want to talk about the God that took South Africa out of apartheid, for instance. You know, we want to talk about the God that saved me as a young person growing up in Soweto, you know, that made me different from everybody else, you know. So that's the kind of gospel we want to bring. We don't just want to look at it from a historical point of view, but we want to make it relevant now. How do we make Jesus popular on social media, for instance? You know, that's where my thinking is, basically. And I'm not saying that's what the Bible says. I'm just saying that the packaging is up to whoever God speaks to. You know, the vision is from God, but I can choose how I want to package that and communicate it to the people.
I like it when you say that you focusing more on bringing in the youth in a path of, can I call it, righteousness, maybe? Because when you look at what's going on in society right now, I mean, let's talk about the high crime rate, which is a result of a high unemployment rate. You find a lot of youngsters who had the vision or who had the idea or the thought that if they do well at school, if they have a degree, that is an automatic qualification for a job, right?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of despair. You look at the papers. I mean, at times you actually don't even want to pick up a newspaper
because they're
depressing. Definitely. TV is depressing. Videos are going viral on social media with people raping kids in a restaurant and et cetera, house robberies, whatever.
Yeah.
So is that where you're going with that? Because you can see a lot of despair and a lot of destruction by human beings.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I think that everybody has got the potential to do good. Everybody has got the potential to do well. And like you said, you know, we all, I don't think there's any child that grows up thinking, when I grow up, I want to be a criminal. You know, those are ideologies that society then brings upon us, or our surrounding, where you're growing up from. You know, what are you seeing predominantly every day when you wake up in the morning? You know, you see people with degrees can't get jobs. You know, good people can't get jobs because of corruption and all kinds of things happening in our society today. So we're trying to bring that element. Hence, you know, I did the album called Grateful, you know, to say I may not have it all, but I'm grateful for what I have, because things could be worse for me. But God has really, really been good to me, you know, and I'm just grateful for that. That I grew up in one of the most impoverished locations in Soweto, but you know, I've seen the hand of God take me from there to a place where I could say, you know, I used to dream of being there. You know, we grew up Kokasi thinking that, you know, Sandton, there's no dust in Sandton, you know, and it's all an opinion because none of us had ever been there. So when you thought Sandton, when you think of doing shopping in Sandton, you're thinking, oh, but forgetting that the same Checkers that's there in Dobsonville is the very same one that's in Sandton. You know, it's all about what are you exposed to. So, and we're trying to bring that, hence my music. You know, I mean, a lot of people think, okay, Colin, you, number one, you are Shangaan. How do you then go do rock and roll and all those kind of, where did you learn that from? Then I'm like, it's just a choice that one makes. You know, we shape our world by our thoughts and by what we expose ourselves to.
Do you think the level of despair that's out there, it's almost palpable, right? It's almost like you can touch it.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Do you not believe, or would you agree or disagree with the fact that a lot of people that are in ministry are playing on those emotions? And I'm talking about the level of desperation that people have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Is that what's happening with some of the pastors out there? Because because there's been lots of stories of dodgy
people, a whole lot who are
luring congregants into a church. I mean, I saw a post the other day of somebody commenting that some churches actually pay you, you know, like leads when you're working for a call center.
If you bring in
10,000 leads, they'll give you this much. So
commission.
I think I was naive in thinking that these things happen, but it seems like they do.
They do happen. Yeah, they do happen. Like any good thing, there's always going to be a counterfeit. Look at Nike, for instance. How many fake Nike sneakers can you find on the streets of Joburg today? You know, but that does not stop the good ones from continuing to be there, you know, from thriving and all that. So I think that, you know, a lot of people, and here's where the problem is, Sonia. I think a lot of people take people's word for it. They don't have a relationship with God. So when I tell you, when I give you my opinion, that's what you go for. You know, and like any other, if somebody's in it for the business, let's just be frank. If I'm in it for the business, if I'm going to go study the word for you, stay up all night praying for you, do all kinds of things, you know, and you just come in on a Sunday looking for a quick fix, people will take you for a ride because you don't even know what you're doing. You don't even know the God that they're referring to. You don't know the scriptures that they're talking about. You know, even the Bible itself, that we need to prove the scriptures. We need to go back and do our own research. And I'm privileged to be in a church whereby, you know, we taught the word. And the pastor always emphasizes, don't take my word for it. You need to have your own relationship with God, because what I'm telling you is my interpretation of the scripture. And God can, I can read, both of us can read the same thing and interpret it differently, depending on what the Spirit says to me or to you. But a lot of people are in a place where they depend on prophets. They depend on all kinds of things to say, you know what, they want to get their message sorted out right now. And the most basic thing to do is to go into the Word of God, study it for yourself, pray to God, have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, depend on God to guide you, because God is not exclusive to pastors. He doesn't just talk to pastors. You know, then those days are over. Jesus came and he abolished all of that. We can all approach the throne of grace. He's our Father. He's our friend. He's our healer. All of us. I don't need my pastor to lay hands on me to be healed, for instance. You know, I can go into the presence of God and take whatever it is that I want. And it all depends on the relationship that you have with the Holy Spirit, which a lot of people don't have.
Yourself having that relationship, which will prevent you from being brainwashed.
Yes, and being naive, because there's a lot of bad people out there. I can tell you, there's people wearing suits, looking all good, saying all the right stuff, but their intentions are just to get money out of the people.
Okay,
it's there. It's there.
I'm gonna quiz you on that, because I want your opinion on a whole lot of things, because I'm a very curious person, somewhat controversial, some people say. So gospel music is huge in SA, particularly right now. I mean, this wasn't always the case. You agree, right?
Yeah.
So as a songwriter, producer, and music director, what do you attest the shift towards?
Well, I think also for a very long time, we were very restricted in terms of writing new music, you know. But with the pop culture growing, you know, we also, I think one of the major challenges that we usually had was that we couldn't get people, especially the young people, to relate to the stories that gospel music used to tell back in the day. You know, it was always the gospel of suits. You know, if you can't wear torn jeans as a gospel singer, you look somewhat like a sinner. We described sinners by whether they've got a tattoo, whether they've got piercings and all that stuff. That's how we usually described people back in the days. But now that, you know, with the pop culture and we are all now moving towards that, you know, trying to bring God into that, because you cannot be away from social media and the media as a whole. We need that to spread the good news. So I think with the rise in us being able to upload music on YouTube, upload music on iTunes and all that, it's now easily and much more accessible to the people, you know. And so it also the desperation from the people wanting to connect with God has given rise to gospel music as well, because we're preaching a message of hope, a message of grace and love and all that. Yeah.
Which unfortunately a lot of people take it for, you know, take advantage of.
That. Yeah.
Now, churches are normally filled by the elderly, perhaps because they know they are close to their death. that's the only assumption I have, right?
Yeah.
So now, however, lately, I mean, you see younger people getting involved in praise and worship.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Well, you know, I think Jesus is the answer, you know. Jesus is definitely the answer for our generation today. And because, like I said, now more churches are able to even do live streaming, you know. We can attract the younger generation. Remember back in the days, we didn't have stuff like social media where we can actually communicate with people from Durban while we're here, and it doesn't even really cost me that much to do so. You know, so now that we've got all these marketing tools, we can talk to the young people. We can get the young people to come to Christ. We can get people out of the streets into the house of God, you know, and preach the good news, and they then influence other young people. And then the next thing you know, churches are filling up with a lot of young people. And I think that is an amazing thing to see happening, you know, because we don't just need the older generation. We need the young guys to get saved. That's the only way, because the most troublesome people right now is the youth, because they're hungry, they're desperate. But and there's churches out there that are teaching people how to get employed, teaching people how to behave well, teaching people godly manners, you know. So, yeah, we're on the right path.
Okay.
We're on the right path.
Okay, I like that. Now, as a worship leader, what is your opinion on the legalization of marijuana?
Oh.
I told you, this is the opinion booth on Cliff Central.
You know, my opinion would be, you know, for instance, I would think that it's something that I've never tested myself. So I have no cravings for stuff like that, for instance, you know, because I've never tasted that. And I believe that also my opinion might be to say it's wrong, and somebody else may say it's medicinal. You understand? So all of that, I believe in the conviction of the Holy Spirit. I don't do things just because society says they're right. And I don't do things just because they're legal. It's also my own personal conviction and my relationship with God and knowing scripture that will then tell me, okay, cool. You know, how far can I go in my experiment as a human being, you know? And how well can I do in certain things? So my opinion wouldn't matter much. I would tell you that, you know, getting high is a waste of time.
Interesting.
For me.
Your opinion, there's a reason why I asked you. I mean, your opinion matters because you're a leader, right? You're a worship leader.
Yeah, I'm a worship leader.
That's why I asked you that question.
Yeah.
Because you have a lot of people that look up to you.
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
So now, okay, anyway.
I try to stay away from, like, I would not encourage people to do stuff that I don't do. Also, I would rather have people sober. Think soberly, you know, That's my thinking. That's where I'm at. In as far as alcohol, drugs, and marijuana is concerned, I would say, guys, if anything is wrong, or if anything has a bearing on your thinking, if it can influence you to think in a certain way, whether good or bad, you know, then that's what the deciding factor should be. So you know when you're high, because I got high, I was gonna go to class until I got high. So people drop out of.
When the earth was created,
yeah,
by the higher being,
yeah,
marijuana being a natural plant that we found here, we don't grow it.
Yeah.
We found it here. Manufacture so what do you make of that? The creator gave us marijuana.
Yeah.
He planted it.
Yeah. All things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial.
What does that mean?
Like, you've got the deciding factor. You can decide what to do, but it doesn't mean that it will benefit you.
Why was it put on earth? By Mother Nature.
There's a lot of things that are... okay, let's look at a flood, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Nobody manufactures a flood.
Yeah.
But it destroys lives.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But
so,
flood...
And there's poisonous trees as well.
But floods are due to rain, and rain gives us water to drink.
Yeah. So at the same time, it gives you water to drink, and at the same time... it can kill you as well. The same water that people drink can also kill. So there's plants which are good. If it's up there, it's a tree, it's nice. We can use it for shade and all that stuff. But at the same time, you find that the fruits that come out of that same tree are poisonous, are not good for consumption. You understand? But it's there. God put it there. Why did God put it there? I wish I knew. I wish I didn't have to struggle with the choices that I have to struggle with. I wish, you know, God, I was just automated to obey God. But God gives us free will so that we can decide. He does not force us to do anything. But not all decisions that we make are beneficial for us.
Okay, I can see that this is it's not going to be easy to convince you. But FYI, marijuana is not poisonous. Anyway, I'm happy to move along because I can see this can... let's move on. So now, the other day, I drove past a church. I won't mention the name because I don't want lawsuits.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want the worshippers there to follow me around Abu Lakasha and, you know, snipers. And, So I drove past a church a few days ago and I noticed, you know, that sign that they put in a building to show that there is an ATM inside.
Yeah.
And I was driving with my husband and our two sons, and I reacted, an ATM machine at a church. And I looked at my husband, and his first reaction was, that's in poor taste.
Yeah.
Anyway, my initial reaction, you know, I thought, wow, this is absolutely crass.
Yeah.
I then posted this on Facebook, on my Facebook wall, and the following comments came through.
Mm.
There's quite a few. And at the end, I want your opinion.
Yeah.
So allow me. So, Pit Piper Don Serache, where and what's the name of the church? It's very important for me to know so that I can avoid it.
Mm.
Bongim Locha, Kuyafiwa Sisi, it's a business. Mapifo, Masuha. Many churches do have ATMs these days. Ask people who go to most of these new churches, they'll tell you. Morwa Moi, they are not apologetic in collecting money. Henceforth, they made a point that if you don't have cash, the ATM is there in church premises.
Mm.
Nolutando Jonas, church is expensive. Mahlompo, wait until you hear the pastor tell you that you can swipe if you don't have cash on you.
Mm.
There's a speed point at the back. Neo Fabulous Ramofoko, it's convenient. You don't have to stress about getting money beforehand for tithes, buying stuff when there's church events. Every church asks for money, tithes, contributions. Charismatic and other churches are more advanced. Dineo Mkhotsi, Sis Sonia Booth, myself, I'm wondering how long until we start tithing by debit order too. Angel, nowadays they do have credit card machines. Baba Lashota, that's actually so sad. Michelle LaRue Jacobs, hospitals have ATMs too. Some churches use SnapScan. Heban. Hey. I didn't know that either. SnapScan, yeah. Next thing you're going to be tithing using your iris, because I don't know if you know, but in Tokyo, you're able to walk into a store and instead of producing a credit card or a cell phone for payment, they just scan your iris.
Ah.
So that might be the next thing that you might look into as a pastor or a church, you know, innovation, right? Reinvent yourself and stay relevant as a church pastor. Elizabeth Beryl Mushweshwe, who is a mother to me, I call her Dimamzo. She says, why would a church have an ATM? Who owns this church with an ATM? Certainly not any of the traditional churches, that is Anglican, Roman, Catholic, etc. An ATM inside a hospital is understandable. If I run out of sanitary protection and I'm admitted in that hospital, I can go to the ATM, withdraw cash, and buy my lady things. Mm. It's mostly private hospitals that have ATMs. If my admission fee is short, I can always go to the ATM and get some cash and top up on what I have in hand. But why should there be one at a church? Yakupa Adubu. Hey, I refuse to attend any church with an ATM outside. Utiko andi olele. Lord forgive me. Celeste Burns. I am finished so bad. Celeste is sitting right there, by the way. She's in our sales department. Lerato Ramahlaha. Via tithe, via EFT. So now I can pay my tithe via EFT? Wow. Okay, moving along. Muhleli M. Mlotshwa, churches have speed points as well. As a pastor, what is your opinion on all of that?
Okay, all right. Firstly, I don't have a church of my own. Okay, when it comes to issues of ATMs, speed points, and all that stuff in churches, it's mainly for convenience. There's been a lot of reports of people being robbed in churches. Like robbers would literally walk into a church and take people's handbags, take people's cell phones, take people's wallets.
You mean like a hold up in church?
Yeah. They do that. They do that.
Wow.
It's that bad. So I don't think for instance, a lot of people will complain. Okay, why do we have to give in church? You know, for example, we use microphones to sing. Somebody has to pay for those microphones. In fact, it's for the benefit of the people. Because if the church is 5,000 people, for instance, and I have to stand in front of people and sing and lead people in worship, we need a proper sound system to do that. People complain that it's hot. Right now, we've got ACs in here. People walk into a church and be like, hey, man, it's so hot today. So the church building needs to be convenient for the people. Churches employ people these days. So there's nothing wrong with giving money in a church for whatever reason. You understand? There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. If there's an ATM machine in the church, it is also for convenience. A lot of churches now have got coffee shops. They've got bookstores. People need to buy merchandise. You know, you walk in there, you need a Bible. You can quickly go to the bookstore, get yourself a Bible. You need a certain message by a certain pastor. You can walk into the bookstore, get yourself some books, some messages, and all that stuff. So it's mainly for convenience. It's mainly for convenience. It's like walking into a mall, you need cash, you can just withdraw it there. You know, some people want to pay their tithe, and the tithe is 10% of your earnings. So now you've got, let's say you earn 150,000 rands. You want to pay tithe of 15,000 rands. So now you want to go, the risk of you walking up to an ATM somewhere at the mall, withdrawing money, driving to church with that, it's a lot of risk. So now EFT technology is meant for our convenience. The same way that we use microphones, the same way that we drive, then why don't we use donkeys to church then if we can? Because an ATM is the same as a car. It's for convenience.
Not a Lamborghini. Some pastors use the tithing money to buy a Lamborghini. Well, and most of these pastors are serving churches in the most impoverished townships and squatter camps, and they don't even realize how insensitive and out of touch they are with their congregants.
Yeah.
That you'll see them wearing a Versace suit with 10 bodyguards. I don't even know why a pastor needs a bodyguard, because if you are the man of God, God should be protecting you, so you don't need bodyguards. But now a Lamborghini, a Corolla can get you from A to B, so that's convenience. A Lamborghini is not.
Of course. Well, I mean, it all depends. Like you're saying, there's people that serve people in the most impoverished communities, you know, and it may look like they're taking money from the people. And like I said in the beginning, we spoke about originality. You know, I even gave the example about Nike sneakers. There are good pastors, there are bad
people. Stop promoting Nike. They don't pay us. Do they pay you?
Oh, no, they
so
don't.
Let's not talk about them. So, let's talk about you and your music, which we're going to get into just now. Yeah.
Exactly. So it's all about that. Wherever there is a counterfeit or wherever there is a fake thing happening is because there is an original that's there somewhere. There are people that, you know, there are pastors that are probably in business. You know, they do business. So their lavish lifestyle has got nothing to do with church funds, for instance. I've got a business. I'm a multi-millionaire. I do my business during the week. On Sunday, I go and encourage people. I'm preaching the word of God. If I can afford a private jet and it's convenient for my business, I'll go buy myself a private jet. If I can afford a Lamborghini in my business, in my personal capacity, I can go ahead and do that. As long as the purpose for which you are there to serve the people for is being met, I don't see anything wrong with that. Unless if a person then is taking money from the people to finance their lavish lifestyle. And which I agree with you, there's a lot of people that do that. And at the same time, there's a lot of people that do this thing the right way.
Okay, I want to go back to tithing. You said it's very important to tithe. If I want to frequent a church and I cannot afford to tithe because now this cost of living is high, right?
Yeah.
It's going to become very difficult to live, right? What will happen if I don't tithe? Am I going straight to hell?
Nah.
Do not pass begin, do not collect 200 rands type of thing?
No. It's not a hell. You know what? The Bible says in the book of Genesis that as long as the earth remains, seed time and harvest will not cease. What does that mean? The most basic principle that we are taught in the kingdom of God, and which is predominant throughout the Bible, by the way, it's seed. Everybody has a seed. Whatever you need, you put in the time. For instance, my album, I put in the time, I invested money into it, and then it yields fruits. So it's a spiritual law that there is, that tithing, and it's not that if you don't have money, don't come to church. If you don't have your tithe, then we condemn you or anything like that. You understand? These are things that a lot of people need to be taught, and it's not something that you can just grasp just like that, just because I said it. It's like I said, you need to develop a relationship with God. It is something that will settle in your spirit. I won't say that the Bible doesn't say if you don't tithe, you're going to hell. That's not what it says. But what the tithe is used to do, for instance, I gave you an example of church buildings. We need to buy equipment in the church.
You
understand? So it's just a matter of choice of words that people use in churches these days to try and convince people to bring their tithe. And I don't know why, you know, because you stick to the word of God, you allow the Spirit of God to minister to them. And if Sonia is comfortable doing it, let Sonia do it. Let not my opinion about it hamper you or hinder you, because maybe God has not revealed it to me yet. So I'm not going to force it on you until you are convicted in your spirit that this is where God wants me to be. Because even the church, the Bible says that I will appoint pastors for you. Men that are, when the Bible says man, it doesn't refer to gender. It just refers to the man species. You know, it's not a female.
I'm glad you were quick
or
to
male. Exactly. You know, so he says, I will appoint pastors for you after my own heart. So I don't choose what church to go to. And here's the thing. It's the spiritual realm is as real as the physical realm. I never chose to be a Colin Maluleke. I was born and I was told that dude right there with the big bald head, that's your dad. That woman that drinks alcohol every day over there, that's your mom. I never had an opinion. I never had a say in it. And the same principle is how it works in the spirit realm. God has to direct you to a place. And now, how does God direct me if I don't know God? You can try different churches and you will feel convicted in your own heart, in your spirit. There's a place, there's no place like home. When you get to your house right now, you're comfortable. This is my house. You understand? Maybe the first time you moved in there, it wasn't as comfortable. He's trying to adjust from the previous house you were living in. But over time, it becomes home for you, you know? So in the spirit realm, it's exactly the same. People church hop. That's why you get, you end up in the hands of robbers and crooks and all that. Because you go this Sunday, you are in Jesus is Coming Very Soon Ministries. The following day, you are in Sibongile is on her way to heaven ministries. The next thing you know, there's all kinds of confusion. Then now you don't know who's genuine and who's not.
You have a sense of humor. I'm kidding. Now, okay, one last one, and then after that, I need for you to sing us a few choruses, right? Because after all, that's the main reason you are here, right? We wanna hear that voice. We want for you to uplift our spirits so that we are good for the rest of the week and for the remainder of the year, because it's gonna be a very tight December with these pockets, you know, and the petrol price coming up. It's not gonna be a nice December at all. So you're gonna uplift our spirits and give us hope, right? But let me ask you one last one, or your opinion. So listen to this. Pastor Alf Lukau posted a picture on Twitter of wheelchairs lifted by a couple of people with the caption, "Men and women who were wheeled into church that evening stood up and ran to the altar to give their testimonies. This can only be God." This was followed by a response from the villager at Pengengle stating, "Next time don't use wheelchairs that are so visibly new for your scam." At Malisendlovu added by stating, "My little brother came in close proximity with a savior that preyed on young college kids and gave them quarters to recruit church folk. Apparently there was a debit order tithe declaration on entry." She says, "So glad my little brother was broke, but not that broke to recruit church folk." Your opinion on that?
Like I said, I won't go as far as saying whether or not people did get healed in that service, because I don't go to that church, and I my opinion on the man of God, so to say, would be, I don't have a relationship with him, so I wouldn't know whether it was genuine or whether it was fake or anything. So maybe the members would be able to clarify, or the people that claim to have been healed, if we can track them down and try and get something. But God does heal. I've seen miracles in my life. I've seen God heal people from sickness and disease. You know, the Bible is filled with stories or examples of men and women that were healed. The woman with the issue of blood, the man that was sitting by the gate called Beautiful. So God healed back in the day. He still heals even today. God can heal any disease, from headache to cancer. God can do it, you know. Some people exaggerate it. Some people play with these things. Some people, obviously, it's a marketing scam or whatever the case might be.
Which is very sad for people that are actually physically having to sit on a wheelchair. Exactly. They don't have a choice,
exactly,
right?
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Anyway, now to the positive. I want to hear your voice, because I know you've got an amazing voice. Please sing choruses to 5 of your new songs. Just chorus, 5 of them.
Okay. 5 choruses. Okay.
Grateful. Well, we played Grateful, so okay. You can't do that.
Yeah. Okay. So there's Power. It says, "I received power when the Spirit of the Lord came upon me. He gave me power, and I'll never ever be the same, never ever be the same. Power. When the Spirit of the Lord came upon me, He gave me power. And I'll never ever be the same, never ever be the same." So that's Power. Then the next one would be Igamelihle, and it goes like, "Ngizolibonga igama lakho, ngizolibonga igama lika Jehova, ngizolibonga Igama lakho somandla igamelihle. So that's Gamelihle right there. The next one would be one of my personal favorites, Hosia Ina. That means our king in Shangani. So it says, Jehovah Jireh, Hosia Ina. Jehovah Shalom. And my favorite one is Jehovah Rapha. That means he's our healer. Hosanna.
I love that one in particular.
All right. And then another one would be... Nsobo. Nsobo means grace. That's also in Shangan. So it says, Nsobo wawena, yeah, Yehova uyihlayisile. Nsobo wawena, Yehova uyihlayisile. Itatama ikurula, rula, rula, rula. Rula, 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 yeah. Rula, rula, rula. That means we'll live in peace. Oh, rula, rula, rula. Rula, rula, rula. Rula, rula, rula. Okay, and then another one. That's what, that's four now, right? One more to go.
Go on.
One more to go. Okay, this one, I think everybody knows this, Bow Down and Worship Him. I did Bishop Benjamin Dube's rendition of Bow Down and Worship Him. So it goes, Bow down and worship Him. Worship Him. Oh, worship Him. And we're not ashamed of that name, Jesus the King of Kings. Yeah, Jesus the King of Kings. We will worship Him. Oh, worship Him.
Wow. Yeah, okay, now I understand why your album is doing so well in sales.
We thank God.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You know, the album just came out on Friday, this past Friday. We're sitting on the... music top 40 charts, and this is my second album, by the way. So also recorded live at our church, House of Treasures. So and yeah, it's doing so well. We had a bit of a problem with I know a lot of people are looking for it online and can't find it. We took it down on Saturday. It was sitting on number 3 on the iTunes charts as well, worldwide gospel downloads. And we had a bit of a problem with our service provider that was distributing our music digitally. So I had to terminate the contract with them. And now we're going to put it back up this week. It's going to be available for pre-orders before the end of the week. And we're going to re-release it on the 26th of October. But in the meantime, Musica, Kum Books, it's available.
And iTunes as well.
Yeah, well, iTunes, we just took it down over the weekend, okay. Yeah, because of that problem. And those of you that got a chance to download it, I know you might have seen this. You can check it out also. Don't take my word for it. Uh-huh. Go on social media, check it out on my page. You'll see we did a bit of screenshots as well, showing that it was sitting on number 3 on the iTunes Christian and gospel charts. So, and I'm really grateful, you know, as the album says, for all the support. I didn't know it was going to be this way. You know, my distribution company called me yesterday and said, wow, you see, you're on the top charts. And my previous album was never even in the stores, by the way. I couldn't get it distributed, you know.
But now...
Look at
it's
God.
It's all looking good.
Look
and
at
the album
God.
Is called Grateful.
Grateful. And I'm so grateful.
Congratulations. I wish
thank you
all
so
the best
much.
From
thank
a year
so
onwards.
Much.
Upwards and up. Forwards and upwards, as it says.
Amen. Amen. Colin, and backwards never.
Thank you so much for joining me on the
thank
opinion.
Thank you booth. So much, Sonia.
My humble opinion, after all, this is the opinion booth. Years ago, I was a member at this church. I attended religiously, excuse the pun, that is until I noticed the VIP signs at the parking lot and also the VIP seating area in the auditorium. I thought to myself, if we are all equal before the Lord, then why the privileges for the select few, the so-called blessed and highly favored, and the opposite of that would be cursed and least favored. I also witness people who bring their checkbooks and they fill it in full view of other congregants, dancing and waving the check, wanting everybody to see how much money they are tithing, as if this is their ticket to heaven. Aspire to inspire before you expire.
This is CliffCentral.com.